Experts warn about the Bitcoin halving effects we're about to see, and 91% of meme coins audited had security vulnerabilities. Good morning. You're listening to the Rise in Crypto podcast by Cointelegraph with me, Robert Baggs, steering you through the crypto cosmos with daily dispatches from the digital frontier. If you want to destroy those crypto casuals in debates, you better click that follow button. Okay, grab yourself a coffee and let's get into it. Today's episode is sponsored by Nuance.xyz, the first fully decentralized and on-chain publishing platform governed by its community of writers and readers. Okay, on the docket today, we are going to do a rundown of Bitcoin stories in the past 24 hours, and there are quite a few. Then we'll look at Cardano's founder defending the network amidst recent criticism from a controversial YouTuber. And then we're going to look at some damning analysis on meme coins that might have you second-guessing that moonshot. This Bitcoin roundup is going to be information heavy, as there are so many things I want to flag to you across multiple stories and reports, all broadly related to the halving event and Bitcoin mining. We're under 2 weeks away from rewards per mined block being slashed to 3.125 BTC, and this, although predictable, is highly impactful all round. According to data from CryptoQuant CEO Ki-Young Ju, the current cost of mining using Antminer S19 XPs will rise from $40,000 to $80,000 after the Bitcoin halving in mid-April. So the Antminer S19 XP is one of the most common mining rigs in the US, and halving its yield puts using it at a loss-making venture at Bitcoin's current price. This juggling act of expense versus reward happens every halving event, but in the three we've had so far, BTC's price has increased so dramatically over the next 150 days that the problem is resolved. Now, from a non-mining Bitcoin enjoyer's perspective, Lucas Kearley, the chief investment officer of Yield App, wrote a fascinating piece that I'll link in the description. The core message of this article is something I've highlighted a few times. That is, the spot Bitcoin ETFs have drastically changed the landscape of Bitcoin's market. Lucas warned, "There's little doubt that Bitcoin will see the customary sell-off following the halving, and it will certainly reach a new all-time high after. Equally, returns will still look a lot more exciting than they do for, say, traditional equity holders. But don't expect the more than 600% price increases we saw after the last halving in 2020. Those days are over." Now, as for the short-term effect of this halving event, analysts at Steno Research anticipate that it will be a sell-the-news situation. Steno Research says that the Bitcoin market is likely to repeat the reaction of the 2016 halving, where selling pressure continued for up to 4 months after the fact. They wrote, "We foresee the next Bitcoin halving as a short-term buy-the-rumor, sell-the-news event. Echoing the 2016 halvings pattern, this time around even with heightened anticipation from Bitcoin ETF holders." One person who agrees with this perspective is Arthur Hayes, the co-founder of BitMEX and a veteran of the space. In a blog post yesterday, Hayes warned that the prices directly before and after the halving could be negative, as the halving combines with a bag of tricks from the United States Federal Reserve and the Department of the Treasury. So the latter is referring to a precarious period for risky assets, as Hayes puts it, as US dollar liquidity is squeezed. Hayes added, "That is why I believe Bitcoin and crypto prices in general will slump around the halving. It will add propellant to a raging fire sale of crypto assets." So there you have it. A lot of the experts and analysis around the halving event are confident in the positive long-term effect, but they each have various warnings that suggest we could be sailing into choppy waters in around 10 days. Yesterday, an unlikely battle took place between the Cardano founder and BitBoy. That is, Charles Hoskinson versus Ben Armstrong. Cardano, which has the token ticker ADA, has had to weather a lot of fear, uncertainty and doubt, FUD, in recent months, which could be for a number of reasons. Crypto Capital venture founder and Cardano advocate Dan Gambardello suggested that much of the FUD around Cardano is because ADA's price was not back above $1. He wrote on X, "Even Cardano people who say they don't care about price, care about price. If the price was up, you wouldn't see these comments." Now, Cardano is down a hefty 81% from its all-time high back in September 2021. But I think it's important to say that that isn't particularly irregular for many of the altcoins right now. However, the ADA token does unfortunately have a rarer negative spin. At the time of recording this, which is around 6 a.m. Eastern, ADA is down 22.01% on the month. And that is despite being up 6% in the past week. So where is the FUD coming from this time? The divisive crypto YouTuber BitBoy, aka Ben Armstrong, posted a new video with an ever-inflammatory title. It reads, "Cardano investors, ADA is dead for real unless this happens." In the video, Armstrong states that Solana, Sui, and Toncoin are performing extremely well in users, activity, and price action, whereas the numbers for Cardano were not fantastic. Incidentally, the comments on this video were not complimentary of Armstrong, but one particular defender of Cardano was the founder Charles Hoskinson, who took to X to defend the blockchain. In response to Armstrong's criticism, he said, "We have the best path for scalability, governance, and innovation. We also have the best community." Now, much of this optimism comes from two major upgrades to the network that are in the pipeline, one of which is said to be this year. The upgrade slated for this year, which is said to be around quarter two, is the Chang hard fork, which will introduce the concept of community-run governance to the blockchain by enabling on-chain community consensus and allowing Cardano's ADA holders to use their tokens to vote on proposals. The second upgrade is the Ouroboros Laos, which is a new version of the proof of stake consensus, which is said to increase the throughput, scalability, and transaction speed of Cardano without sacrificing decentralization. Hoskinson calls it the biggest step forward towards solving the blockchain trilemma ever, which is one hell of a claim. I'll conclude this Hoskinson-Armstrong beef recap with a fair assessment by Hoskinson. He said, "The problem with our industry is that we let short-term narratives and carnival barkers dominate the conversation." Okay, a quick refuel break to talk about this episode's sponsor, Nuance.xyz. We all know that blockchain's shaking things up, but what about blogging, especially long form? The problem is those current publishing platforms seem stuck in the past. They still control all of your stuff, they keep revenue figures shrouded in mystery, and frankly, they make you feel like a cog in their content machine. Enter Nuance.xyz, the medium of the Web3 world. It's a platform that is censorship resistant, lets you directly tip your favorite author, rewards you on rules that you help decide, and even lets you prove your article's authenticity with NFTs. Nuance is the world's first totally on-chain blogging platform powered by the internet computer from Definity. Head over to nuance.xyz and dive in. Who knows, maybe that epic fan fiction or the community you're building around your product is exactly what Nuance needs. Finally, publish on your terms. An absolutely superb piece went live yesterday in Magazine by Cointelegraph, and it's about meme coins, written by Johan Yoon. You know how much I love ending these episodes lately with meme coin stories, though this is in the polar opposite direction of Moonshot Millionaires. So as is always the case with these magazine pieces, it's too thorough to do justice in this podcast, so click the link in the description, but I do want to give an overview. As we've spoken about before, meme coins have been minting new millionaires at an alarming rate. But in doing so, they have attracted just about every bad actor in crypto. Sadly, it has also attracted those desperate for unicorn profits that you read about, and the combination of maliciousness with desperation is nitroglycerin and a naked flame. Now, although Solana gets the bulk of the plaudits and heat for meme coins, there have been other chains gaining a large market share, and one of those is Coinbase's roll-up Base. So with some research into Solana meme coins already banked, Johan Yoon and the magazine compiled security tests on the newest 1,000 Base tokens from the 19th to the 25th of March. Nearly all of these 1,000 tokens were meme coins or outright scams. Now, it is worth noting that there are nearly 400,000 ERC20 tokens on Base, so it is a small sample size, but it is a fair and ungerrymandered audit of recent tokens. The magazine assessed each token based on three of the most common security vulnerabilities. The first is locked liquidity, which in DeFi is when a portion of the token's trading pair is sealed in a smart contract to offset rug pull concerns. Secondly, there is whether the smart contract is verified and accessible for investors to review for risks or malicious code. And then finally, there is whether the token is a honeypot that lures in investors but prevents holders from selling. Right, brace yourself for the findings. Of 1,000 tokens created during that week, 908 had at least one security vulnerability. Over 90%. Now, not all of these were malicious. Around 16.9% were found to have malicious intent. That is still an absurdly high percentage and means that one in six are a scam. As for the rest and the bulk that failed the security checks, they will likely be the result of the token creator's lack of knowledge or the ability to pay for proper security auditing. Nevertheless, from an investor's perspective, the results will typically be the same: loss. David Schwed, the chief operating officer at security firm Halborn, also told Cointelegraph, "The tendency of these projects to be forks of existing projects or generated through AI means they often inherit vulnerabilities or introduce new ones." It's really worth reading the whole article to get a sense of how malignant the space is, and as far as I can tell, it has nothing to do with the network they're on. Another shocking finding was that 48 of the 1,000 tokens investigated were honeypots with a sales tax of 100%. As Johan says, that is no different from outright theft. But what do you make of the meme coin craze? Share your thoughts with us on @Cointelegraph and @RKBags on X or @RKBags on Warpcast. Today's episode wouldn't be possible without our partner, Nuance, the revolutionary long-form publishing platform for Web3. Nuance.xyz empowers writers and readers with a fair creator economy and fosters diverse voices. Okay, that is it for today. Consider yourself informed. Thank you for listening to the Rise and Crypto podcast by Cointelegraph. If you're enjoying these daily updates, please make sure you let us know by following, subscribing, or leaving a review. Have a great day. Let's do this again tomorrow.